most significant fault lines in cultural history opened up in the 16th and 17th centuries with the emergence of a characteristically modern way of approaching life. Thinkers such as Descartes and Leibniz and Spinoza and Kant and Jefferson and many others really effected a sea change in the way we look at practically everything. The modern emerging up out of the classical and medieval world. Now, in almost all tellings of this story from a Western perspective, this is seen as an unmitigated good. Certainly when I was coming of age, outside the church, in sort of the secular culture, that's the way the story is always told. Can I say right up front that I rather emphatically disagree with that way of construing things? Now, you'd be foolish indeed not to see that several great goods came from the modern shift, especially in the areas of science and politics. Video for another day to explore all that. But certainly very good things came out of the modern turn. But I think it would be also equally foolish not to see that in many ways the modern turn represented a decline, a declension from classical and medieval thought. And I would say especially in the areas of art and morality. Now, let me get at it this way. Classical thought was very much ordered along the lines of Aristotle's four causes. So Aristotle said to understand something, you need to look at four things. The material cause, what it's made out of. The formal cause, its sort of essential structure. The final cause, where the thing is tending. And then the efficient cause, how it got that way. If you look at those four things and you understand them adequately, then you have a good grasp of a phenomenon. Well, one of the marks of modernity was a sort of mistrust of two of Aristotle's causes, namely the formal and the final. Modern thinkers put a great stress on flux and change. Think of, you know, the emergence of evolution and so on, that reality is always in flux, and so the formal cause came to be questioned. Also, many modern thinkers, most I would say, question finality. Is there really a purpose or ultimate orientation to things? They doubted that. The falling away of both the formal and the final led to the development of what we see now as a characteristically modern form of science, which puts a huge stress on matter, what things are made out of, and the efficient cause, how they got that way. Now think of, you know, the modern sciences, the physical sciences, put a hyper stress on those two things. But the falling away of the formal and the final had, I would say, a very deleterious effect on other areas of human endeavor. As I said, especially the arts and morality. Look at the arts first. In a classical or medieval perspective, what was an artist doing? Well, he was surveying the world to see the forms, the formal structures that God the Creator had placed in things. And then the artist was trying, as best he or she could, to mimic those forms in what he or she was producing. Now, a very good example of this, interesting to me, someone like Michelangelo, who had such a tremendous grasp of the sort of rhythms and proportions of the body. It informs certainly his painting of the human body, but even his architecture. Think of the great churches, including and especially St. Peter's, that he helps to design. One reason we find them so satisfying is that they mimic those formal proportions of the body. Now, Thomas Aquinas referred to art as recta ratio factibilium. That means right reason in regard to the making of things. Now, what's the recta ratio, the right reason? Well, it's a grasp of the formal structures of things, which now go into the producing of artifacts. That's art. Now, the arrival of modernity, we have a great questioning of formal causality. Things are always shifting and in flux. And we put a great stress on efficient causality, right? Where things come from. So what do you find in modern art, especially as it moves toward the contemporary period? You see the great stress placed on the intention of the artist. The externalization of the subjectivity of the artist becomes the major value. That something is creative, that it's expressive of the artist, that's what makes great art great. The limit case of this is the famous line from Marcel Duchamp, the 20th century French Dadaist artist, who said famously, "What the artist spits is art. In other words, a complete questioning of the formal structure of art and a hyper-stress on the efficient causality, what the artist produces. I would suggest we are now at the polar opposite of rectoratio factibilium. Okay, that's the arts. Look now at ethics, morality. Classical morality, both in the ancients and the medievals, is predicated upon final causality. In other words, what's the purpose of an act? So think of what I'm doing right now, the speech act. I can look at it materially, produced by my tongue and air and teeth and so on. But what they were interested in was the final causality of it. What's the purpose of speech? And they would say, well, truth-telling. That's the purpose of a speech act, is to tell the truth. Therefore, a good speech act is one that produces the truth. A falling away from that, lying, deception, etc., is therefore something morally objectionable. The determination of that is predicated upon a knowledge of the finality or purpose of the speech act. Or, another example, an act of legislation. Well, what's the purpose of that but the production of justice? If a legislative act is ordered toward justice, it's a good act. If it's ordered toward something else, the good of the legislator or some private interest, it's therefore something bad. Finality is key. It's a key ingredient in the determination of moral rectitude. Okay, so what happens when final causality is compromised? Well, what you get is, I think, what you find in a lot of contemporary thinking about ethics. Ethics is finally a matter of what I determine to be right. If no one can really know what the final cause of something is, well, then what finally matters is it expressive of my desires, expressive of my sense of identity? And that now becomes the criterion of morality. Thomas Aquinas referred to ethics as rectoratio agibilium. Art was rectoratio factibilium, right reason in regard to the making of things. Ethics is right reason, rectoratio, in regard to the doing of things, agibilium. What's the rectoratio is a clear grasp of finality or purpose. Now, if Marcel Duchamp is the limit case of art, what the artist spits is art, I'd say people like Friedrich Nietzsche and Jean-Paul Sartre are the limit case of this modern sense of morality. They say something like, what the powerful person wills and accomplishes is good. Operating beyond good and evil, beyond what the society proposes as right and wrong, the powerful person decides. Or Jean-Paul Sartre, existence precedes essence. What I want, what I desire, determines the kind of person I will be. With those figures, we're at the polar opposite of rectoratio agibilium. Now, I'm bringing all this up because I think it provides the background for understanding why the Catholic Church speaking on morality is so often hard to hear, hard to take seriously. Our basic stance is a modern one. It's been filtered down from these high figures I've been mentioning, but through a whole series of teachers and writers and culture commentators, and has now informed the common attitude. So what do you hear people today say? Usually some version of, who are you to tell me what to do? I've got to be me. I express my own identity. I determine the meaning of my life. All of that is Nietzsche and Sartre having trickled down into the common perspective. The Catholic Church is operating out of this pre-modern. And again, I mean that positively. You say pre-modern today, it's almost automatically, oh, that means bad. It means primitive. No. Here, I think pre-modern means really good. We're operating out of a very different thought system that takes formality and finality with great seriousness. So we say, look at an act, whether it's a speech act, an act of legislation, or a sexual act. We look primarily at finality, at purpose. What's the meaning, the formal and final structure of that act? This is why it's very hard to hear the Catholic teaching today. Just a last comment. there are many things wrong, I think, with the modern approach to these issues. But, you know, I think the fundamental problem is the modern approach is boring. I say it because it locks the subject so much into himself. There's no kind of thrilling adventure of discovering formal truth or discovering finality and purpose. All that matters is my little world of my desires, my identity, my sense of myself. Finally, ho-hum. I think classical morality, classical art as well, is a much more thrilling, much more adventurous project.